For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometer range. Recharge your soul.
Senior police officer in the UK, Maggie Blythe, has described the influence of the likes of Andrew Tate, the online influencer, as terrifying and a national emergency. We're going to speak in a moment to Geoffrey McCarthy. Geoffrey is a psychotherapist and CEO of the Beacon of Light Counselling Centre in Clondalkin. But Sheila Nocton, our own reporter, is with me now. Sheila, kind of before we talk about maybe your own experience of this or the experience of kind of people in your peer group, tell us a bit more about this story.
Yeah, so as you mentioned there, the National Police Chief Counsel's report, that's where this kind of came from. But it was a report into violence against women and girls. So similar to our own reports here that we discussed as well from the National Women's Council. But yeah, they described the radicalising of boys into extreme misogyny as quite terrifying. And as you say, you have declared that it's a national emergency. So there, it's estimated that at least 1 in 12 women in England and Wales would be the victim each year of this kind of violence. And as we saw here, we had record numbers as well this year. But it seems that their approach now, while ours here is the zero tolerance approach and we're doing the 5-year strategy, it does feel like the UK are kind of going a bit further with their language today. They are saying that the leads for counter-terrorism in the country and those working in the violence against women area are coming together to look at this. So, I mean, it's being put alongside counter-terrorism in the way that young people and particularly here men can be radicalised in that way.
So people will be listening to this who have managed to live a blissful life free of social media. They might wonder who Andrew Tate is. So he would have been in the headlines not too long ago because he was under house arrest in Romania. Who is he and what has he said?
Yeah, so I should say I very rarely get nervous coming on the radio and I have butterflies in my tummy talking about Andrew Tate because the only time I ever did a story on him online, I got absolute the dog's abuse for it and had to take the video down. And it trumps any story I've ever done on like migration or refugees or the abuse is incredible, but I'll do it for you. So he is a self-proclaimed misogynist. First rose to fame. It was an appearance on Big Brother in 2016, but he only lasted 6 days on the programme. And then he was removed because they found a video that appeared to show him attacking a woman. Now, he has said that video was edited and a total lie. So he's 36 years old. He's a kickboxer. And every time you do anything on him being an influencer, everyone will correct you who's a fan of his and say he's a kickboxer. But he has more than 6.9 million followers on X, but he has been removed from other platforms. You actually can't even say his name on a TikTok video without your video being removed. So he'd be really well known for having this kind of really luxurious lifestyle, fast cars, private jets, yachts, women. But it's his opinions on women that have been really controversial and saw him kind of rocket to this influencer fame, especially on TikTok. So there's one really well-known video that has been taken down but not before it got billions of views, but it's where he goes into really graphic detail on what you should do to a woman if she accuses you of cheating, and he says that you should physically and sexually abuse her. Now he doesn't use those words, but that's what he implies. He uses words to describe women as intrinsically lazy. He says there's no such thing as an independent female, and he says that when it comes to things like the Me Too movement, women should bear some responsibility. So evidently that's kind of what UK and schools are worried about. You did mention it there, but him and his brother Tristan, they're facing a trial in Romania. He's been charged, they've both been charged, with rape, human trafficking and forming an organised crime group to sexually exploit women, and they both deny those charges.
I know when he was in the headlines not too long ago when those kind of charges first appeared and he was placed under house arrest and he had these court dates, that kind of he's this kind of curiosity, this oddity, and I have to say kind of a particularly odious oddity for most of us. And then you spoke to teachers and stuff. They said, hold on, there's young lads, and this is kind of generalising, but lots of young lads absolutely love this fella.
Yeah, so I did. I had friends who, like, we just happened to be talking about it one day, and one friend of mine who teaches in an all-boys school in Dublin said that after a few months of coming back to the new term last year, they had noticed that the language used towards the female teachers had gotten increasingly worse, that the language in class had not only become kind of very sexist, but there was also just really casual xenophobia and homophobia, and they connected all of that back to the influence of Andrew Tate, because he was spoken about in class, so they had to hold assemblies, and then they spoke to other teachers both in boys' schools and mixed schools, and similar things were happening there, so it was just a trend that they noticed.
All right, well, listen, I mentioned Geoffrey McCarthy is with a psychotherapist, CEO of the Beacon of Light Counselling Centre in Clondalkin. Geoffrey, you're welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm not too bad. Thanks a million for coming into us. I mean, kind of from a psychological or psychotherapist point of view, can you understand or explain to us the attraction of an Andrew Tate type character?
It's a difficult thing to quantify. You know, I kind of wrote an article about it in the journal last year. And at the time, you know, there was a lot of kind of, we would have been seeing a lot of kind of young men, you know, kind of being very disenfranchised with society, disenfranchised with, you know, feeling disconnected from the local population or from you know, from society and as a whole. And I think what Andrew Tate did, and I'm certainly not advocating, you know what I mean? I think what your previous speaker said is he's complete misogynist, complete, you know, kind of very, you know, negative views around particular people and marginalised groups, that he seems to speak to them at a deeper level. And I don't know what it's about. It's kind of this kind of, I don't know. It's just a case where I think these people that are following him, particularly young men, kind of see it as cool. They see it as something that is like a kind of a badge of honour or something. And if you look at it from a deeper point of view, I think it speaks to their kind of being completely disconnected from society, these young men who kind of follow him, who kind of, you know, unconsciously kind of nearly kind of align with what he's talking about. And I don't mean the extreme of, you know what I mean, kind of hurting women and kind of, you know, abusing women and stuff like that, but this kind of indifference towards the norms or towards the kind of the, I suppose, the populist narrative that you should be this particular way and people ought to be treated in a certain way. It's nearly like a form of rebellion. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a, you know, a kind of a, an FU to the establishment.
And can we
thing,
can we be
know?
Guilty of overthinking it? I mean, the way you describe it, I mean, younger people will always kind of have that attitude, or a lot of people will for a period of time.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the new kind of, you know, the new rebelliousness. Do you know
it's
what I mean?
Like it's a kind of another manifestation of kind of smoking fags then behind the bicycle sheds type
it
thing.
It kind of is, and I don't want to trivialise it and kind of normalise it either, but I think there is an aspect to that. I think where it becomes a little bit more alarming is where people are starting to kind of become agitators, or they're starting to kind of maybe act in particular ways or kind of follow him in a very kind of behavioural way. Do you know what I mean? They start kind of creating kind of violence and, violent attacks and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that that's the case, but it can always go that way. Do you know what I mean? So there are a kind of a norm where people will, I think, kind of align with him at some level, but then they might look a little bit deeper and say, no, this guy is way off tack here, or way off the planet. And then there might be other people who are just that little bit lost within themselves, and they might take it, you know, more fundamental.
Yeah.
Because a lot of his views are quite fundamental in a way. They're very extreme.
Yeah, women belong in the home. Women are the property of men. These are some of the things.
Silly stuff.
How would you react if a woman accused him of cheating? I'd bang out the machete, boom, in her face, and grab her by the neck. This is what he said himself about how he would react. So I guess, again, to compare to the fags behind the bicycle shed, and it's not to kind of defend people smoking or anything, but the only person you're damaging there is yourself. I mean, if you're going around with that kind of attitude to 50% of the population, you can see why people think it's a bit more dangerous, maybe.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, as you say, I wonder sometimes, does he actually believe a lot of what he's saying himself? Now, again, I don't know. You know, I can't really speak to what his character is like. It's obviously very toxic and very kind of very, you know, deeply unhinged. But I wonder, is he saying a lot of this stuff just for the shock factor? You know, just for, you know, what can I say that's the most outrageous thing here, where people are going to say, whoa, you know, it's, this fella's kind of, you know, what is he talking about? And I think that if you look down through life in general and historically, there's always been people who are saying stuff that's completely outrageous. and some people, you know, will listen to it, or they will kind of align with it at some level. But I think looking at it from a therapeutic point of view or a psychological point of view, most of the people that align with that or it speaks to them, there's something a little bit unhinged within themselves too. So they're speaking to the unhinged within the person, if that makes sense. Not to get too deep about it, but yeah. I am a therapist.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that's changed, maybe for kind of people younger than you and I, who are in school now and kind of are attracted to this, and be it just kind of whether maybe that there is kind of something slightly unhinged, or it's just a kind of a case of rebellion that they'll grow out of, is you've got these social media algorithms that are much better at kind of then funneling these people all into different kind of groups and categories and exposing them to the same thing over and over again. And maybe then that's the danger.
Yeah, I think you're correct there. I think that there is a wider kind of, you know, kind of narrative here that is being pushed, you know what I mean, at a higher level. And I think that people, again, social media, look, I'm not going to come on and be a dinosaur and say it's a bad thing. It is what it is. But I think young people particularly have much more access to things that is quite harmful to them in terms of
their
mental health.
And they also have a kind of these communities of people that they can find immediately, like-minded people. You know, I often give the example of the kind of the fella in the street when I was growing up who used to kind of hand out these flyers denying the Holocaust. And, it was kind of a, you would almost describe him as kind of this harmless fella, you know what I mean? Didn't know what he was talking about, ignore him and, you know, bin the flyer. His version today immediately finds a kind of an online community of like-minded people. They can meet up, they can organise protests. It all becomes much more dangerous. They're no longer the kind of the harmless fool handing out a flyer in the streets of the local town. And this is kind of the same, I guess. You know what I mean? If you're kind of spouting this type of stuff and the people in your classroom maybe, or the people in your group are kind of rolling their eyes a bit, it's easy. You know, years ago then, you kind of had to drop it, as it were. You were on your own, whereas now you're not.
You kind of didn't have the platform,
You
know, back in the day. But now, I think more and more people with more extreme views and opinions have a platform.
I know you mentioned there that there's kind of words like that it could be a bit of a trend or harmless or, you know, lads, as my friends have told me, just saying things in the classroom. But like, I think from an experience as well, a lot of these men who do subscribe to Andrew Tate's way of living, they're actually extremely charming and to begin with, and they can pull the wool over women's eyes often, if that's somebody that they want to either be with or date. And I can give an example. So I was asked once out on a date by someone. I had seen some of their stuff online and I was very aware that they were a fan of Andrew Tate. So that was not something that I was interested in. However, I didn't want to engage in a conversation about it. I just said no. And I was told that I should have been grateful that he wanted that someone like him wanted to get me. And he told me these words, I'll never forget them. I'm desirable on the sexual marketplace. Yeah. And I just thought, okay, thank God that I'm going to absolutely not engage with this. But think about the vulnerable woman who, what he kind of proposed before this, had I not known about the Andrew Tate stuff, had I not followed him online, so sometimes online can be your saving grace, I can provide for you. I have a business. I have this, this and this. And all I would need from you is, you know, just to kind of be my woman. And you're a vulnerable person who wants to be with someone and thinks this person is so kind and charming and doesn't really see an issue with doing normal gender roles, which for some people is fine. And then you get into this situation and you're caught in it. And then we look at our figures both here in the UK and why there's increased domestic violence and abuse, whether it's coercive control or whatever. And maybe you end up in a situation because someone has followed what Andrew Tate says and does, is very charming. And then you're caught in this position. There's also seems to be, again, this type of thing for men who are fans where you maybe aren't worth more than your looks or what you look like. I've seen comments online where someone will totally disagree with a woman's view, will think everything she stands for is not something they stand for and they can't stand her. I have one person on my Instagram who cannot stand me. I know he doesn't like me, but yet there's this impression of like, but I suppose it doesn't really matter what your thoughts are or your brain is, or who you are, as long as you look a certain way and I'm happy with that. And after, while it might seem like a compliment to say, oh, but she's still good looking, which I've seen in women's comments on certain social media, it reduces them down to, well, that's all that matters anyway, doesn't it? It doesn't matter if I don't agree with you.
Yeah, just something on the marketplace.
just yeah, something on the marketplace.
I think what you're talking about there really is narcissists. You know, you're talking about narcissistic personality types, like, you know what I mean? People who are kind of very, you know, manipulative and very kind of, you know, you're kind of talking about people who are kind of going the far end there, I think, of the spectrum. And I would agree with you that, you know, some of it is kind of, you know, innocent enough and people who kind of don't know any better. And I think another part of it is the people who know exactly what they're doing and they are calculated and they do prey on vulnerable people. And I think I would agree with you there that...
And fight most, back yeah. when they find unvulnerable people or people who don't buy what they're selling.
Well, of course, yeah. If you assert yourself and you stand up to these types, and you know, it's just yeah, you're kind of you're shamed. Then oh, you know, you're there's something wrong with you. But that's classic narcissist behaviour.
I have to assert myself and kind of wrap it up because we're out of time and I'll get in trouble from the producer. Listen, a really interesting conversation though. So thanks a million to both of you, Sheila Nocton, her own reporter, and Geoffrey McCarthy, is a psychotherapist, CEO, of the Beacon of Light Counselling Centre in Clontarf.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.